Welcome to the Channel for Grace Uncut podcast. This is a deep dive into my life, my stories, my experiences, the things that I love to talk about, the things that inspire me, and my thoughts and observations about the world. This is a podcast where you'll mostly find me sharing myself uncensored, but where you will also meet amazing guests and hear about topics that will inspire you to keep learning, to keep searching for your truth, and to guide you to be unapologetically you. Welcome back, everyone, to the podcast. I am so excited today to have one of my dear friends, Quique Fontan. I met him. He was my guide for the 11/11 Argentina event that I went to with Matias De Stefano in November of last year. And I found out while obviously we were at this event and getting to know the group and everything that Quique was one of the crystal bearers for Matias. So I couldn't wait to like ask him all these questions about his experience with the Yo Soy path and how it's, you know, affected him. So I'm so excited to have you here, Quique. Thank you for being here. And feel free to say hi and maybe introduce yourself, whatever. It's all chill.
Hey, Jai. Well, thank you for having me here. It's an honor also. This is actually the first time I'm going to like tell this experience out loud, I would say, because I've had a couple of like sharings in the past, but I've never done like a podcast or interview, I would say, speaking about this specifically. So I actually find it quite interesting and I have no clue where this is gonna take us, but I'm really excited and honored anyway. So thank you for the opportunity and I take advantage of this opportunity to say hi to all your listeners, your usual listeners. And well, thanks for having me.
Yeah, you're welcome. I'm so excited. And honestly, I literally grabbed a piece of paper right before we were starting and I was like, okay, I'm gonna write down questions. And then you came into the Zoom and then I was like, yeah, no, we're not going to write any questions. Like, I'm just going to see what shows up. But I know what I want to ask you.
Sounds like you. So yeah.
No, exactly. Right. Yeah. So, oh my God. Like, yeah, I have a million questions. I mean, first of all, like, you know, when did you first meet Matias? Because I think, you know, he was, you know, he's like the big kind of picture for so many of us that are now on this path. I really do feel like we're on a path together. And so how did that first encounter like come about? Where did you guys meet?
First of all, I want to say it's actually funny for us both being Argentinians and speaking in English. That's already funny, but I thank all your listeners for this not being our native tongue, right? Okay, so how I met Matias, that's a long story actually. I first met him on November 11th, 2011, actually. So that's what, nearly 12 years ago, 11 and a half mm-hmm. years ago. Back at the time, I participated in the event he organized, which was really massive. Like there was a lot of people. I think back then they said there were like 10,000 people or something like that. He was not as widely known back then as he is now. So that was really impressive for every one of us who were there because no one was expecting that kind of numbers. But I had my own little spirituality group or cult, as I happily call them. And we went with the cult folks to see Matias because we had been like following some of his videos back at the time. He was speaking about the, I don't know if you know his story, but he was then starting to travel around the world and starting to do what he called the Atertumti path, which is something he did a long time ago, more than 10 years ago. But that meant bringing heaven down to earth. And that was one of his first missions. So I think that Atertumti path is something that sort of drew us to him, to want to know him. So we went, there was 11 of us. So it was 11, 11, 11, and there was 11 of us going to see him in this event, which lasted for like probably 4 or 5 days. I don't recall exactly, but it was, well, really interesting and weird. And like, it was like a spirituality Woodstock, maybe. And we were all like baffled because it was like, what the hell is all of this? You know, like we had never participated in anything quite alike at all. But I cannot say I met him there because I didn't. I just saw him on stage, but he was like the presenter of everything. The stage and everything was exactly the same that you and me saw together last year. It was all a little bit more like rustic, like there was not so much infrastructure, but everything else was pretty much the same. There was a lot more people back then, but it was a little more deorganized. So it was a little more hectic and chaotic, I would say. Still, it was really interesting as an experience, and everyone in my group, we were really happy of having been there because there were like musical acts and parties and all like turning around the whole Matthias idea of what life had to be about. And it was really inspiring, I would say. So even if I didn't know him personally at that moment, I did get like kind of hooked to his message because I really liked what he was saying, even if he was really not very famous back then. I mean, because he was not so famous, it was weird that there were so many people. Even till now, I don't know what happened that drew so many people there.
The vortex or something.
Something like that, exactly. The event itself, I mean, a lot of weird things happened during the event, which is not surprising once you've been to this kind of events. But for us, it was kind of new. It was like, what the hell's going on, you know? Like, with like synchronicities and like magic stuff happening. That was all there since the beginning. That much is clear. Maybe a year after that, I don't know exactly, but let's say a year, give or take, my brother, he was traveling in the US, in Los Angeles. He went to do some kind of seminar or whatever. And he met Matthias in the airport, like literally out of nowhere. Like he was stepping down from the plane. And he was like, hey, you're Matthias Stefano. I know you. We have like a spiritual group here in Mendoza where I live. And we have kind of been following your videos and conferences. And we do think what you do is really cool. And well, they were both Argentinians. So they kind of hit it off, you know. And they became friends like right there in the airport out of a complete coincidence. They started like hanging out for 2 or 3 days because they just met in the airport and they were like, hey, wanna go have lunch or something like that. So when my brother came back to Mendoza, he was a part of the same group I'm a part of. And many of the people you knew with me in November were also part of the Idyllion, many of us. So we're like as Matthias used to call us, like an energetic ring of trust or something like that. I don't recall the exact name, but let's say that back then, that was probably 2012 or 2013. We started kind of getting closer to him because he would continue to travel. So whenever he came to Mendoza, he would meet us because he had already met my brother. And we all live in a community here. So when he came to Mendoza, he started coming to our house because according to him, it made him feel at home when he was not at home. So sharing our like spiritual and activities and meditations and everything. According to him, that was something kind of familiar. So he felt at ease and at home here. We were really happy because we started to know him as a person, and he was like really cool and funny and interesting and a lot of things that whenever you know him, you know, that it's like that. So getting to share with him in like a more intimate fashion, it was really interesting. That lasted for like probably 4 or 5 years that he came to my house, like his kind of personal hotel, we would say. When he was in Mendoza, he probably came here like 5 or 6 times. In those years. So in the end, mm-hmm. we ended up becoming friends because we would just like be sharing breakfast and touring around Mendoza, whatever, when he was here. And it's funny because he actually, he had like a little, I don't know how you said, like, he says that he had kind of a disconnection one of the times that happened to him, and that happened to him here in Mendoza. So it was like something, I don't want to use the F word, but something screwed up within, like inside of him. And he had to go to Chile, which is right next to the border here from Mendoza. So he took like a base here and he stayed here for like a month until he recovered. So I remember that fondly because he was literally one of us for that time, you know? And shortly after that, that was in 2018 when he did the second 11-11 event once again in Capizal Monte. This time he already summoned us to be a part of a team. Like he said, out of my group, the cult, as I call it, he said like, who would like to participate in, because we were working with energy work and a lot of things that were like familiar and coincident with what he was working with. So he was like, who would like to come with me and help me out with this event? So we were like, hell yeah, like I'm doing it. So back then there were six of us that we volunteered to give him a hand in the 2018 event, because the 2011 event had been a little chaotic, as I tell you, because maybe what he told us later was that he didn't have like the support circle that he needed in order to make everything be more orderly, you know? So in 2018, it was a lot better. There was less people also, but we were there like next to him, like a lot closer, and that helped building a more like structured energy circle, we would say. Mm-hmm. So well, that's long story short, or not so short, how I met him, or how we met him, I'd say, because it was not just me. Next question.
I love that. Yeah, no, I love that. No, I love how it was all, you know, very synchronistic, like it was meant to be, you know, like divinely guided, especially your brother meeting him at the airport, you know, like those things just like really kind of mark, like when you're paying attention, you know, when you're aware and you pay attention to those things, you don't, you no longer feel like things are coincidences, you know, that things are like meant to be. And that's what it feels like to me, that he, you know, you, your group and Matias were meant to, you know, come together and work together, you know, in some way. And I remember hearing stories about that first event, that first 11-11 event. And I remember the, you know, him saying, or I think there's a video. I've watched so many videos, like, you know, the Gaia thing, the Gaia YouTube, like everything, you know. I kind of became like a Matias junkie too when I discovered him in like 2019 that I discovered him. Anyways, I remember him telling about how the weather like was crazy at that first 11-11 event, and how like all these people came from all over, and he was like, what is going on? Nobody expected that.
Opened up one, all of a sudden we all saw it. I was there, so yeah.
Yeah, yeah. So I remember hearing stories about that. I think, you know, looking back now and, you know, being like an observer of like the stories, I think that all of everything that Matias has done has felt like such it marks something, like it just like makes a statement, you know, because there's so much connection to like the elements, and you can feel like it's a very visceral experience to like, you know, be at the events and all of that stuff. So yeah, that's so cool. I mean, it was a very kind of gradual and like a natural flow. And I love that. And I love that, you know, you guys are a group and you have this community. I think that's so beautiful. And I can see why, you know, he would feel at home, you know, in a place like that. So the next question that I have is, you know, there's one thing that you mentioned Idilian, and That's a word that like some people know, but some people don't know, you know, what it means. Can you explain to us what is Idilian?
Yes, well, I mean, I'm not gonna be as precise as Matias, of course.
It's okay, we want it in your voice.
if you've heard Matias, as you have, his oldest memories come from ancient Egypt, 12,000 years ago, give or take. All his remembering path starts there with an incarnation called Shiu. He was Shiu back then. And she was, because it was a girl, like a kind of princess that was a part of the Kem culture. Kem was ancient Egypt, as it was called back then. And Kem had three schools of initiates in different degrees, right? They had the Arsayan, which is also the name of Matthias' foundation, the Emenian, and the Idilian. So there were one of three degrees of, we would say, priests or initiates. So that's what the Idilian are. And he chose this name to like kind of name his priests or inner circle, we would say. Mm-hmm. It's related basically to an old order of ancient Egyptian priests.
I love that. And what were, you know, because I know what I know of it is that the three schools did three different things. What was the Idilian known for? What were they like? What were they like, you know, known for? What did they do?
Well, to be honest, they kind of mix up sometimes in my mind, because Matthias has spoken so much about that sometimes the names, particularly when they're not in a language I speak, such as,
yeah,
just in this case, Saitu, which is the ancient Egyptian language.
Right.
I know their task was related to the elements, and it all turned around the elements of working with fire, water, earth, and air.
Mm-hmm. And so how did it come about? How did it come about that you guys became the Idilian?
In this incarnation, you mean now?
In this incarnation. Yeah.
That's an important thing to point out. Okay, for the actual Josoi path, which started in early 2020, Matthias once again, I mean, he was actually in my house, because I remember this, in 2019, I'm mixing things with 2018 and the other 11-year. No, this was in late 2019, he sent a message to us, because we had worked with him in 2018 in the 11-11 event. So he was like, hey guys, I really appreciate what you did back then, how you helped me and everything. So I'm now looking to get a group together to build, he didn't call us the Idilian back then, but he says he was looking for a small group because he had a task that he needed help with. That's what he told us. So he said he needed to go to Egypt in early 2020 for the portal day, which was September the 2nd, 2020. So 2-2-2020, okay? 02-02-2020, actually. So he was like, there were financial issues in like, he was not able to pay for the trips for everyone because we were in Argentina. Going to Egypt was very expensive. But he said, if we wanted to participate, there was like a spot for us. If we want to be a part, we just had to pay for our plane tickets. So, well, we were talking like between us, because there's a lot of us in our group here. So it was like, okay, who wants to participate? Who can, who has the money to pay for the ticket to Egypt and all that? So, well, let's say that we kind of talked among us, and we ended up being four of us who had the money back then and were able to pay for our ticket to Egypt in 2020. So we talked to Matthias and we said like, hey, I'm in. Okay, there was four of us. So out of my Mendoza group, there were four of us who became a part of the Idilian. Kind of, let's say, by chance, I don't know, because we never know. But the thing is, well, he invited us. We told him, okay, there's four of us. were able to go. He invited a lot of other close friends from, well, there were a couple of guys from Argentina, Spain, Mateja, who is from Slovenia, and Vivi, who is from Mexico. So those were dealing because there were just people that were kind of handpicked by him to be a part of this close group who had an important task, basically. So that's the story. We ended up going to Egypt for February the 2nd, 2020. And that's where we got the crystals, which we had no idea we would, because we found out
that. Tell me about that. Tell me about that experience. How, you know, how was that? Had you ever been to Egypt before?
I had never been to Egypt before. So it was like a really interesting experience. I went back then, I was married. I went there with my back then wife and two of my best friends. We were all part of the same group. So the four Idilian were actually my then wife and two of my best friends and me, part of a bigger group, which were 12 total. So it was another 8 Idilian, us four and Matthias, 13 total. And well, we went to Cairo in, I think, if the big event was on February the 2nd, I think we arrived in Cairo in like January the 28th or something like that. So it was like 3 or 4 days before the event, because we had to do a whole energetic preparation that Matthias had already planned for us with a lot of exercises and meditations and chanting and activations of different places and portals. So we went to Egypt. It was weird because I had never been there, and I went to Cairo, but I didn't get to see like the Cairo that everyone sees. I was just being guided by Matthias to different places that no one had ever been into, literally. Like we went to the Saqqara Pyramid when no single tourist had ever been there because it was not open for tourism. And he got one of these special permissions he uses to get.
Of course he did.
He paid a lot of money, I have no clue. But the thing is, we ended up being inside the tomb of Saqqara, which was something outwardly. And we went to the Osiris Shaft. I don't know if you know what that is, but those are places that they're not forbidden, but let's say that they're really not easy to access. So that was my first experience in Cairo and in Egypt. Wow. It was really out of the ordinary. And it was really interesting because it was really seeing Egypt with different eyes. Like if you've been to Egypt, it's really touristy. Like it's really hard to get off the beaten track, you know, and like see the true Atlantean past and first of all, because with all the Muslim current culture and all, that's something that's kind of left behind and not talked about, you know? So like you ask to actual Egyptians, not only they're not gonna mention this, but they will even deny it. So like you have to go with Matthias in order to be able to see this, because they love Matthias because he has been taking thousands of tourists to Egypt for some years now. So even if he's like a weird kind of figure for Egyptian authorities, they still kind of love him and allow for him to do things that they would not allow other people to do. And I'm really happy to have been a part of that, because that made me be like in the right spot in the right moment, you know?
Mm-hmm. Yeah, no, I love that. I have my own like school. It's called the Moon Goddess Training. And I go through, basically we go for 9 weeks, but we go into the Akashic records and have these Akashic journeys into the temples. And yeah, that pyramid of Saqqara is like something else. Like if you study the archaeology of it, if you know all of it, it's phenomenal. I can't imagine having been there in such a special way that for you was like unexpected. And no, I mean, incredible for everybody.
If you have been following also what Matthias talks about, he also talks a lot about the Protista, which is an ancient Atlantean machine. We would say it's actually a huge cube of like the center of a portal, which represents the Merkaba, and it's inside the Pyramid of Saqqara. Like you go into the Pyramid of Saqqara and there's a huge hole in the middle of the pyramid, like I don't know how many meters deep, and there's this huge cube made of boulder that's the Protecta, and you have to be there to feel it. Like, it's incredible.
So what was it like to be there and feel it?
Well, it kind of blew my mind, literally. Like, I was really dizzy when I came out, like, the first time. Like, I have to admit, I'm not very sensitive to this kind of things. Like, it's not easy for me to get unbalanced, but after touching the Protecta and doing some of the chantings and activations there inside, it was like, whoa, you know, like, everything started spinning around. And that was the first time. Every time I went in, because I went there like 3 or 4 times in different trips, it was like stronger, you know. The only thing is, like, the next, like, that trip, it was for us. It was not open for people. So it was just Matias and us 12 there. It was like a very private visit. Then we ended up going with a lot of people in the upcoming trips, where I was a guide, like, where I was, like, I had people at my, how would you put it, like, under my responsibility. So I had a different role, you know? So it was different, because I was more like taking care of the people in my group than actually feeling it for myself, which is what happens when you're guiding someone else. Mm-hmm. But it was really, really strong and heartfelt, the kind of, like, memories and perceptions that place can open up, you know?
I can imagine. Yeah, it's like, I can and I can't imagine. No, but when you said that, when you said I felt dizzy, I felt that. I'm not like you. I am really sensitive. And even just you telling me about it, I was like, oh God, I think I'm going to throw up.
Well, it kind of felt like that. Like, not growing up, but really, like, not knowing where North is, you know, like
oriented.
Yeah, totally disoriented.
Yeah. Wow. And what was the purpose of that trip? Like, what did you guys go there to do? I mean, it's like, once you get there, you were like at the mercy of whatever we're doing. Okay, let's go. But what
kind
were you guys
like that? I mean, yeah, Matias told us he was getting a group together for this important task of the Josai path he was starting, but he had not started it yet. So neither of us really knew what we were doing back then. Like, we were like, okay, we're going with Matias. He has an important task. He has asked for us to be there. And we're like, okay, it's interesting. I've never been to Egypt, and Matias is, like, needing help, and I'm glad to give him a hand. So once we were there, we did the whole February the 2nd activation that was in the pyramid in Cairo, mm-hmm. in Cheops, I mean, in Giza, which is right next to Cairo. And there were, like, I don't know, but a lot of people that flew to Egypt only for that event that day. Like, they literally flew to Egypt for one day of the February the 2nd activation with Matias. We had been there for some days already, but on that day he did, like, a conference, and, like, there were people listening, and he did a big conference for everyone and an activation also, and it was really interesting. But I was really surprised of seeing so many people fly there just for one day, you know? And it was then when he gave us the crystals that we had to, like, that we would actually keep for nearly 3 years or 2.5 years. We didn't know that at the moment. But then he started explaining us about what the Josai path was going to be about. Once again, that was before it started and before the pandemic, because this was February 2020, 1 month before the pandemic started. So everything changed 1 month later. Everything we had planned on doing just did not happen, because the world went mad a month after that. So we were supposed, each one of us, to represent a node of Earth. So Matias, like, assigned a node of Earth to each one of us. Like, for example, me, I had Sumatra in Indonesia. That was my note. So I was supposed to go to Indonesia, to Sumatra, to take my crystal with me and activate a specific point, a node of Earth, which was near the island of Sumatra in Indonesia. And with me, there were 12, like, I mean, we were 12. So there were 12 nodes, 12 crystals, 12 people going to 12 nodes at the exact same time, which was supposed to happen. Firstly, if I don't remember wrong, it was on August 2020. That didn't happen. it got postponed because of the pandemic and everything. So it got postponed to 2021. That didn't happen once again. And in the end, it all got postponed till November 2022, when we actually had to hand over the crystals to some other people who were living closer to the nodes, so that they would go to take the crystal. So actually, in my case, I was just holding a crystal with me for 2.5 years until it was the moment to give it to the actual taker who would take it to the proper spot. In my case, Sumatra, I gave it to this Indian girl who had the honor of taking the crystal that I had taken care of for 2.5 years.
I remember that, yeah. At the event, there was the big, you know, transfer of the crystals. But for those 2.5 years, what was it like? Did you have any, you know, powerful experiences? Was it very mundane for you? I mean, I'm just curious as to like what was it like for you to hold something that, you know, you knew was a big task and it was part of like a group thing. Yeah, how was that for you? And did you guys have to do anything with the crystals or just literally have, because I know you guys literally had to have them with you all the time. Like,
yes,
right?
Now I'm remembering that I actually mixed it up a little bit because I'm going to go back in with my words. We went 3 times to Egypt. Like we went for the first time in February 2020, second time, June 2021, which was the first time we were able to go there after the pandemic had sort of like got calmer. It was still weird because it was really difficult for us to go to Egypt back then. Egypt had not a lot of restrictions, but Argentina did. So for us, it was hard to travel, but I'm not gonna get into that now, but it was a weird trip. And then the final trip was in February 2022. So we went to Egypt for 3 years in a row. And actually the crystals, we got them on the 2021 trip. Like on the 2020, we got assigned the nodes and we created the Idilian group that was what Matthias invited us to do. And we created a WhatsApp group where we would have weekly meditations and like intimate activations where we would be holding the space for the whole year. In August of 2020, he started doing the Yo Soy Path channelings, which he did for a whole year from August 2020 until August 2021. And it was our task as Idilian to be holding that space with the weekly meditations throughout that whole time. When it came the time to go back to Egypt in June 2021, because that was the first time we were actually able to go there again, that's when we got the crystals. But we had already been holding this space for like a year before that. So now that I think, actually, I only had the crystals with me for a year and a half, not 2 years and a half. Okay.
Yeah.
When I got to Egypt on the second time, that's when I was given the crystals that I was supposed to take to the node a couple of months after that in August 2021, which was the start of the path of the dragon that Matthias was calling. He said that it was the path of the dragon that was starting in August 2021. That once again didn't happen because the pandemic.
I remember all of this. Yeah, I remember this because I was like watching as like a, you know, a viewer, like an observer of the journey.
Yeah, he was really frustrated because he had to build and rebuild his plans all over again all the time because he planned for something that actually was impossible to do after that. And each country had different restrictions for entry and the COVID and everything made it basically impossible for 12 people to go to 12 different places at the same time. That was literally undoable. So in the end, we kind of surrendered to the idea that it was not happening. And we just became like guardians of the crystals and the crystals energy until we had to hand them over to whoever would actually take them on November 2022. So what I wanted to say with this is that throughout that whole time, a lot of things happened, but the most important for us as the Idilian group was that we were actually having weekly meetings between us, between Idilian, sometimes with Matthias, sometimes he wasn't there because he was also doing the the daily channelings, and like there was a lot of pressure with him, and he was really tired sometimes. And we were just holding this energetic space for him to be able to do what he had to do, you know? So that was like demanding, and it was also really like an honor to have been able to be a part of that.
Yeah, that's amazing. Like, how did that feel? Like, what was the experience for you?
To me, it felt like, I know it's going to sound hippie, but it sounds like service to the universe.
That is not hippie. Like, that's like truth now.
I mean, I call me a hippie if you will.
No, that's, I mean, I really believe that that's what we're here for, all of us in our own, you know, unique way. And, but there's something about, you know, do you feel like looking back at, you know, this whole experience, do you feel that, and I know I already know kind of the answer is yes, but do you feel like this was what you chose, part of what you chose to do in this lifetime, like a soul contract? Or like, I remember, do you feel that it's part of a huge part or a big part of what you actually came here to do on the planet in this time around?
Definitely. Like, being a part of like the Matthias circle has, with time, like I knew him 11 years ago, but it's only in the past 5 or 6 years that I have been able to realize the power and the depth that all that I've done with him has and has had, and the impact that it has had in my life, because of actually the people I literally live with today. And everything I do right now is affected by what I've done with Matthias for the past 5 or 6 years. Even like couple relationships, friends, trips, everything I've done has been kind of affected or even changed by all of that. Even my work, like literally right now I'm working for his foundation because I was offered to even have like a job there, which I had never thought of before. I'm now a translator for the foundation. And that's something that's like new for me, because I worked in tourism for 15 years and I always felt that I had a good job, I earned good money and everything, but I felt that my job had no like spirit, it had no goal, no actual goal. Like I could have been working in a beer factory or a bank, or and it would have been the same, you know, like there's actually no like existential goal behind what I'm doing. Like I'm literally giving my life hours away for nothing, for money. And I don't care about money. Like I need money just as everyone, but if I can actually earn money doing something that I think has meaning, then that's where I feel this service to the universe, you know, because mm-hmm. I could literally be doing anything else that maybe I could earn more money with, but it will have less meaning. So for me, it would be less meaningful. And in this case, being able to actually work for Matthias and spend my time doing something that I think has a lot of meaning, it makes me feel fulfilled, you know?
I love that. Yeah, I love that. I think that, I mean, I feel like that's how I feel about my life in my own way. You kind of know my story, but maybe a little bit. I was born in Argentina. And when I was 8 years old, 7, 8 years old, my family moved to the United States. And it was actually a very traumatic experience. It was not easy. It was like crazy. Our families, like my mom's family, which was mostly like my maternal grandmother and my paternal grandmother at the airport. And this, I heard about this years later. They got into a fight, like the minute our plane took off, and they were like, you know, it's your fault, you know, tu culpa. And it was crazy. It was like a physical like fight. And like one of my grandmother's glasses got, you know, thrown on the floor and stepped on. I mean, it was like total drama, you know, but the energy of it was just crazy. And I really felt like I got totally uprooted, taken out of everything that I ever knew. My life. It was like my life had two trajectories. One was my life that would have, what it would have been like if I had stayed in Argentina and it, like, you know, continue with school and whatever, right? And then the other trajectory was like, okay, now I have to learn a new language, which I hated. Like, I mean, obviously now I love it, but actually,
you actually have kind of managed it.
Right? No, but I hated it. Like, I remember, oh my God, there's this one story where like, I was in elementary school and the friends that spoke Spanish now were like no longer like Argentinian. They were now like Mexican or, you know, Central American. And yeah, different, so it was like different. It was a different Spanish anyways, but they were like my best friends because I was like, I don't know what I'm doing here and, you know, help me. And I just remember this one time where I was like, how do you say I need to go to the bathroom? You know, and so my friend told me, and so I walked up to the teacher and I was all scared and nervous and I was like, can I go to the bathroom? And I just remember, like, I don't know, it was hard, like it was crazy. But now my whole life I had been, you know, searching for what is the meaning of my life? Like, what am I here for? I've always felt like I've been on like a deep spiritual journey or like a longing for something that was missing that I could never find, you know? And my whole life has always been, you know, I first got into yoga and then and that was my first sort of like encounter with like spiritual things, you know, the language and, you know, everything. So I just started going deeper and deeper down the rabbit hole. And I remember when I discovered Matias, I was like, what the heck? This guy is from Argentina? I was like no way. I was like, what? My mind was just like, you know, like I couldn't. And so I was like hooked because
we do have an interesting country, you and me, you know. there's things happening down here, believe it or not.
No, I know, but I was always searching and searching and searching and like, what's my point? What's the point? You know, why did I have to go through all that trauma? And like, now I'm in the US, you know, it was crazy for me. And so, but when there was something clicked when I saw Matias, because it all of a sudden it kind of like brought these two things together. And when I wanted to go to Egypt so bad for the 222, but it was also, I was like, I don't know about traveling right now. It didn't feel right, you know. But the Argentina trip, when the Capilla del Monte 11:11, I was like, I already know I'm gonna be there. I don't know how it's gonna happen, because I knew that Argentina also had like the restrictions and stuff. And even though I'm a citizen, you know what I mean, it's like, it's tricky. So anyways, because I travel with the US passport, you know, so they think I'm a foreigner or whatever.
Do you still have your RG passport or not?
Yes, I do. I do now, but it, because, you know, they like, but sometimes when I go through the aduana and stuff, it's like they look at it and they're like, vos Argentina, you know, and then they laugh and stuff. So these funny things happen while I travel, even though I have that US passport. But anyways, so I knew I had to be there. I was like, I knew I was gonna be there, not that I had to be there. I just knew it. And it was the first time, and through Matias, and you know, I know we all kind of like idolize him or whatever, but you know, that's not the point. But it was through him, for me personally, that I was able to make the connection between my spirituality that I was searching for and like Argentina. Because the fact that there was this, you know, powerful spiritual event happening, you know, in my home country, and like, I don't know, I still can't, like, you know, I'm like, wow, it was just crazy. It really opened up for me. It was the missing link. And it was really beautiful to be at that event. And it was such a powerful experience. And it was amazing, you know, to have you as our guide. Like, I never, you know, I we did tell you thank you. But, you know, I just want to tell you thank you again, because that was so, so deep for me to be a part of. And it's, you can't even sit down, like it would take you hours to sit down and like describe, like, so what did you guys do? You know what I mean? Like, you just can't, like, you just have to be there to experience one of, you know, one of these powerful events. And watching also the transfer, you know, of the crystals, and then having the crystals eventually go through the journey that they were supposed to go through, and then get seated, you know, in the 12 nodes, like all of that has just been such a beautiful journey for me. And I know it has been for a lot of people. So I know it has been for you 100% because you've been like such a core, like foundational part of that journey. So it's just really cool, you know, to hear your story. And the last question that I have is, you know, from now on, you know, now that we've got, you know, the crystals have been planted in the nodes, and it's almost like it's a new story for humanity. That's how I see it. That's how I feel it. And even though it may seem like on the scale of like the planet, the events that have, you know, have been a part of, you know, the Yo Soy path seem small in comparison to like the whole world, I feel like there has been nothing that has felt so powerful as a global activation for me than connecting to Matias and the Yo Soy path and feeling a part of like that experience too, because I feel a part of it just as much as, you know, I know a lot of people do. But looking back and looking forward, what has been like the biggest like lesson that you have learned, you know, how has this experience like changed you, and where do you see, you know, your own path like moving forward from now on?
Okay, I actually think what you just said is really interesting about your own path. Like, I do believe, and Matias says this all the time, we all have our own path. Matias is not a guru. Matias is not here to guide us. He's here to share information with us that he has, and it's fantastic. But in my case, he has helped me understand that. I'm really happy to have shared all I have with him, because it has brought light into my own path, you know, in which when I can share the path with him, because they're concurrent, they go the same way, that's fantastic. But I must not forget that I do have my own path, which needs to come from inside first, because else you're just blindly following something else, as if it was like a religion or something telling you what to do. And I don't believe in that. I don't believe no one has to tell me what to do. I believe that people can be an inspiration, such as Matias. Matias is a great inspiration for me. And I have been sharing past paths and trips with him and knowledge and a lot of things for many years. So I do believe he's a great inspiration for me, which affects everything I do daily. And maybe like now, for example, I have not seen him since November, and I don't think I'm going to see him shortly. I don't know, because sometimes we end up being in the same place at the same time, but I don't really care, because I know what he's doing, and I enjoy and appreciate so much what he's doing that he keeps on being an inspiration. So meanwhile, I do my own path, which I just like to feel it's aligned to the bigger picture, you know? Once again, that sounds very hippie.
I love hippie.
We all hold hands and hug and align to the bigger picture.
That's my favorite. But you know what? What comes up for me is, like, and I always talk about this when I teach, when I share my wisdom, that when you heal yourself, which to me is like equal to when you're on your own path, you discover your path, you step into your mission, your purpose, whatever that is for you individually, which is different for everyone. When you heal yourself and you walk into a place of fulfillment, one, everything in your life changes, like you said, every moment, the daily, it's like daily inspiration, and it's like a huge shift. And the other thing is that when you heal yourself, I truly believe this, that's how we heal the collective. It's not about like, yes, being a part of something is amazing and beautiful and it can be the most powerful experience. But then what do you do when you go home after that? You know, what happens after the 11/11 event? You know, what do you do with your life? We don't, because I do feel like we are beings of frequency. And I know we are, and what we do, you know, and how, and any work that we do for ourselves and personally in healing affects the collective, affects, you know, directly our environment and the people around us, and truly affects like the collective. So I am really grateful that you took the time to have this conversation with me. I'm, you know, super, super thankful. And I'm excited, you know, for your the continuation of your story and, you know, the growth, like all of it, you know, all of it. So, and I'm really grateful for your friendship too. And it does feel like we, you know, we're connected, even though we don't talk every day. I, you know, I feel like we are connected, and I kind of think you probably know what I mean.
Well, I answered your call right away, if that's any word.
I remember when I got it, I was like, I asked him to do this months ago and he said yes. And then it was like life happened, you know, and my, you know, podcast was a little bit on the back burner because I'm doing a million things. And then I always trust that everything happens in the perfect time, you know? And so I never get up early. Like, I mean, the earliest would be like, you know, 8. But anyways, I remember like the dogs. I know the dogs is because of the dogs, the puppies. They get me up early now, but I woke up at like 5, and literally out of nowhere, oh my God, he's just showing me a picture of his pug sleeping belly up on the floor. He's so cute. Is she or he? I can't remember.
This is what I'm looking at right now.
Yeah. So I remember it was like 5 a.m. and I was like, I got to text Kike. I have no idea like where that came from. 5 a.m. for me, but I know it's like 4 hours later for you. So I don't know. It just, you know, when it's those moments of inspiration where I take action and then everything just like, if it's right, it flows. If not, I just keep waiting until it's the right time. So I'm glad that it was the right time. And I do thank you for sharing with us your story and, you know, and how it's changed you and all of that. So anything else you want to say?
If you feel it was the right time, then it probably was the right time. That much I can tell you. And no, I just like as a ending note, probably about what you were just saying about us, each one doing its own work, its own path. I do believe we are meant to integrate and learn to take every single step of acquired knowledge and awareness and consciousness into every single act and decision of our lives. So if you're not doing that all the time, then it's worthless. Like in my case, I know for sure my evolution has nothing to do with a single event or trip I do once or twice a year, because life is what happens in between that, you know? Like I can feel very connected to the world and I'm a part of the network and everything for 4 days a year when I was a part of a very magical experience and event. But then I go back home and I have to go back to work and I got to face my troubles or whatever. And I need to keep being hopefully the same aware person I want to be in those acts too. Else it's just worthless. So in my opinion, my great learning about all of this is that these acts, these decisions based on consciousness have to be every single day, all the time. There's no stopping. There's no taking a break from that.
I love that. Thank you so much for those words of wisdom from Kike. No, I really love it. And Kike is also an amazing musician. Actually, why don't you tell the listeners how to find you and follow you?
It's going to be in Spanish, so it's going to be hard to type in.
It doesn't matter. It doesn't matter. I'll share it on the link.
You can share it by writing, but it's actually at Quien Fue Buda, which means who was Buddha, but you will have to know how to write it in Spanish. It's QUIENFUEBUDA. That's my Instagram username, or Spotify if you want to listen to my songs, you know. Well, I share with everyone that Jack
is amazing.
A very good singer. So
yep. And I've still got, you know, to get that album done.
Definitely.
Oh, but thank you so much, Kike, and I hope that Yeah, I hope that you guys that are listening enjoyed this conversation and can't wait to see you guys again soon. Sat Nam.
Thank you so much for listening to the Channel for Grace Uncut podcast. If you loved this episode and this podcast, make sure you subscribe and leave a review. You can find me on MeWe and YouTube as at Channel for Grace, and you can discover a world of amazing offerings on my website. If you want to learn astrology, if you want to learn about what it means to discover your inner sacred feminine, if you're curious about how the current astrology is affecting you, if you want a private astrology reading, compatibility, or tarot oracle readings, and if you're looking for sweet handmade zodiac themed jewelry and other designs, go to my website, www.channelforgrace.guru. I will see you again on our next episode.